You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and I'm your host. Greetings to all the tribes of Israel who are the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, and Nordic peoples, our brothers and sisters around the world. The title of this message is Hallel's Hatred. I will explain who Hallel is. The name Hallel is the original name in Hebrew, and the Latin name for Hallel is Lucifer. So therefore, this is one of the devil's many, many names, Hallel. And what's interesting that I will point out about this name is Hallel is spelt H-E-Y-L-E-L. And if you notice, the word hell is right in his name. So we're going to find out why the devil's so angry. Maybe that's why all this is happening today, because he's very angry. And rightly so, he's very angry. And his children are very angry. They hate us Israelites. And they hate the truth more than anything. They will kill for the truth. This is called Vita Ade et Ive, from the Apocrypha and Pseudepigrapha of the Old Testament. This is with R.H. Charles from Oxford Clarendon Press, 1913. When they were driven out from paradise, they made themselves a booth and spent 7 days mourning and lamenting in great grief. This is speaking of Adam and Eve. But after 7 days, they began to be hungry and started looking for something to eat. And they found it not. Then Eve said to Adam, "My Lord, I am hungry. Go look for something for us to eat. Perchance Yahweh will look back and pity us and recall us to the place in which we were before." And Adam arose and walked 7 days over all the land and found no victual such as they used to have in paradise. And Eve said unto Adam, "Wilt thou slay me, that I may die, and perchance Yahweh will bring thee into paradise? For on my account thou hast been driven thence." She felt bad. What had happened in the garden, she blamed herself that she brought Adam to this fall. Adam answered, "Forbear, Eve, from such words, that peradventure God bring not some other curse upon us. How is it possible that I should stretch forth my hand against my own flesh? Nay, let us rise and look for something for us to live on, that we fail not." You see, they just had, they were used to just picking the food off the tree and everything was there for them in paradise. But now they were going to have to work to eat. Now they were going to have to hunt and search for food to eat. Part of the curse, folks, part of the curse. And they walked about and searched for 9 days, and they found none such as they were used to have in paradise, but found only animals, food. Found only animals, food, excuse me. And Adam said to Eve, "This hath Yahweh provided for animals and brute beasts to eat, but we used to have angels' food. But it is just the right that we lament before the sight of God who made us. Let us repent with great penitence. Perchance Yahweh will be gracious to us and will pity us and give us a share of something for our living." And Eve said to Adam, "What is penitence? Tell me, what sort of penitence am I to do? Let us not put too great a labor on ourselves, which we cannot endure, so that Yahweh will not hearken to our prayers and will turn away his countenance from us because we have not fulfilled what we promised. My Lord, how much penitence hast thou thought to do? For I have brought trouble and anguish upon thee. She's blaming herself. And I can understand that. And Adam said to Eve, thou canst not do as much as I, but do only so much as thou hast strength for I will spend 40 days fasting. You know what fasting is? I never really realized what fasting was. Fasting, you think, is just not eating, but really what fasting is mourning. Isn't that interesting? I had never known that before. I'd never really known it. It's very, just something I didn't know. There's lots of things I don't know. But do thou arise and go to the river Tigris and lift up a stone and stand on it in the water up to thy neck in the deep of the river, and let no speech proceed out of thy mouth, since we are unworthy to address Yahweh, for our lips are unclean from the unlawful and forbidden tree. And do stand in the water of the river 37 days, but I will spend 40 days in the water of Jordan. Perchance Yahweh will take pity on us. And Eve walked to the river Tigris and did as Adam told her to do, like women are supposed to do. See, she knew that she was under Adam and that she was to obey him. Where women today, they're told by the Jew that they're equal with man and they don't need to obey anybody. But that's neither here nor there. You know what I mean? Likewise, yeah, right. Likewise, Adam walked to the river Jordan and stood on a stone up to his neck in water. And Adam said, I tell thee, water of Jordan, grieve with me, and assemble to me all swimming creatures which are in thee, and let them surround me and mourn in company with me. Not for themselves let them lament, but for me. For it is not they that have sinned, but I. See, Adam wasn't afraid of the creatures in the water like you and I may be, or, you know, not necessarily. Why should you be? But you, there's always the danger of the unknown, you know. But see, he named all these creatures, and they were familiar with him. Forthwith, all living things came and surrounded him. And from that hour, the water of Jordan stood still, and its current was stayed. And 18 days passed by, and here he is. Here he comes now. He can't stay away too long. Then Satan was wroth. He was angry and transformed himself into the brightness of angels and went away to the river. He was angry that they were trying to repent before Yahweh. Very angry about that. He's angry about a lot of things, and he's going to be even angrier soon when we all repent. I mean, you know, I'm doing my part. I'm hoping you're doing your part, and it starts with me. It starts with you. We can't wait for somebody else to do it. It's time for us all to repent, and I've really made some strides. Thanks be to Yahweh. It was all by him. Because, folks, some things you just can't do by yourself. If you show him, I told you this before, if you show him you mean business and you want to repent, he'll help you. And I suggest you do it as soon as possible, because the more of us that do it, the angrier this devil will get. And the weaker he will get as well. And his children as well. So let me move along. So right now he transformed himself into the brightness of angels. And he went away to the river Tigris to Eve. You see, he knew, let me go to her first again, because it worked the first time. Why wouldn't I do this again? And he found her weeping. And the devil himself pretended, the great pretender, to grieve with her. And he began to weep and said to her, geez, this is just like the Jew, the Holocaust, the Holocaust. And she said, ah, that's not real. Get out of here. No, I'm only kidding. All right. So anyway, The devil himself pretended to grieve with her, and he began to weep and said to her, "Come out of the river and lament no more. Cease now from sorrow and moans. Why art thou anxious, and thy husband Adam? Yahweh hath heard your groaning and hath accepted your penitence, and all we angels have entreated on your behalf and made supplications to Yahweh." He's lying again. He's coming masquerading like his children do, masquerading as an angel of light, or as angels of light, and he's lying and deceiving again. He's trying to get her to disobey Adam, never mind disobey Yahweh. "And he hath sent me to bring you out of the water and give you the nourishment which you had in paradise, for which you are crying out. Now come out of the water, and I will conduct you to the place where your victual hath been made ready." But Eve heard and believed and went out of the water of the river. She disobeyed her husband, and her flesh was trembling like grass from the chill of the water. And when she had gone out, she fell on the earth, and the devil raised her up and led her to Adam. But when Adam had seen her, and the devil with her, he wept and cried aloud and said, "O Eve, Eve, where is the labor of thy penitence? Why did you do this? How hast thou been again ensnared by our adversary, by whose means we have been estranged from our abode in paradise and spiritual joy? You let it happen again, Eve. What is going on with you?" You see? And when she heard this, Eve understood that it was the devil. She didn't know until that moment that it was the devil. You know, you really can't blame her. You know what I mean? Why wouldn't Yahweh? She was in the middle of suffering and moaning and everything. I understand. And anybody could be fooled. But probably not Abraham. And when she heard this, Eve understood that it was the devil who had persuaded her to go out of the river, and she fell on her face on the earth, and her sorrow and groaning and wailing was redoubled. She's very emotional too, as you see, the woman. And she cried out and said, "Woe unto thee, thou devil, for dost thou attack us for no cause? What hast thou to do with us? What have we done to thee? For thou pursuest us with craft. Oh, why doth thy malice again assail us? Have we taken away thy glory and caused thee to be without honor? Why dost thou harry us, thou enemy, and persecute us to the death in wickedness and envy?" And with a heavy sigh, the devil spake, "O Adam, all my hostility, envy, and sorrow is for thee. Since it's for thee, I have been expelled from my glory." Ladies and gentlemen, you're about to be revealed something very important here. I suggest you listen up. I'm going to repeat what the devil said. "O Adam, all my hostility, envy, and sorrow is for thee. Since it is for thee that I have been expelled from my glory, which I possessed in the heavens, in the midst of the angels, and for thee was I cast out into the earth." Adam answered, "What dost thou tell me? What have I done to thee? And what is my fault against thee? Seeing thou hast received no harm or injury from us, why dost thou pursue us?" Adam didn't know what he was talking about. The devil replied, "Adam, what dost thou tell me? It is for thy sake that I have been hurled from that place." I love that word. I have been hurled from that place. Now he's going to tell him now, listen. "When thou wast formed, I was hurled out of the presence of God and banished from the company of angels. when God blew into thee the breath of life, and thy face and likeness was made in the image of God, Michael also brought thee and made us worship thee in the sight of God. And God spake, here is Adam. I have made thee in our image, in our likeness. And Michael went out and called the angels, saying, worship the image of God as Yahweh hath commanded. You see, he hates us. First of all, what you see here is we are his children. He blew his air into us. He didn't do this to the other races. He the breath of life he blew into us and gave us life. And he made our face and everything to look like him. We are his children. We are the sons of God. I told you Adam was the son of God. And that Jesus says he is the son of man. And he's also a son of God because he is of the Adamic race. This is very revealing. So Michael went out and called the angel, saying, worship the image of God as Yahweh hath commanded. And Michael himself worshiped first. And then he called me and said, this is the devil, worship the image of God, Yahweh. And I answered, this is the devil. And I answered, I have no need to worship Adam. And since Michael kept urging me to worship, I said to him, why dost thou urge me? I will not worship an inferior and younger being than I. I am his senior in the creation. Before he was made, I was already made. It is his duty to worship me. When the angels who were under me heard this, they refused to worship him. And Michael saith, worship the image of God, but if thou wilt not worship him, Yahweh will be wrath. He will be angry with thee. And I said, if he be angry with me, I will set my seat above the stars of heaven, and I will be like the highest. And Yahweh was wrath with me, and banished me and my angels from our glory. And thy account were expelled from our abodes into this world and hurled on the earth. And straightway we were overcome with grief, since we had been spoiled of so great glory. And we were grieved when we saw thee in such joy and luxury. And with guile I cheated thy wife. and caused thee to be expelled through her doing from thy joy and luxury, as I have been driven out of my glory. Isn't he nice? Very revengeful. Are the Jews revengeful like him? I don't think I need to answer that for you. I think you know that they're so revengeful, they wouldn't forget in a trillion years one little offense. When Adam heard the devil say this, he cried out and wept and spake, O Yahweh, my life is in thy hands. Banish this adversary far from me, who seeketh to destroy my soul, and give me his glory, which he himself hath lost. And at that moment the devil vanished before him. But Adam endured in his penance, standing 40 days on end in the water of Jordan. So he did what he said he was going to do. And that's very, you know, you can respect that. And Eve said to Adam, live thou, my Lord, to thee life is granted, since thou hast not committed neither the first nor the second error. But I have erred and been led astray, for I have not kept the commandment of God. And now banish me from the light of thy life, and I will go to the sun setting. And there will I be until I die. And she began to walk toward the western parts, and to mourn and weep bitterly and groan aloud. And she made there a booth, where she had in her womb offspring of 3 months old. And when the time of her bearing approached, she began to be distressed with pains, and she cried out aloud to Yahweh and said, "Pity me, O Yahweh, assist me." And she was not heard, and the mercy of God did not encircle her. And she said to herself, "Who shall tell my Lord Adam, I implore you, ye luminaries of heaven, what time ye return to the east, bear a message to my Lord Adam?" But in that hour Adam said, "The complaint of Eve hath come to me. Perchance one more hath the serpent fought with her." And he went and found her in great distress. And Eve said, "From the moment I saw thee, my Lord, my grief-laden soul was refreshed. And now entreat Yahweh on my behalf to hearken unto thee and to look upon me and free me from my awful pains." And Adam entreated Yahweh for Eve. And behold, there came 12 angels and 2 virtues standing on the right and the left of Eve. And Michael was standing on the right, and he stroked her face as far as to the breast and said to Eve, "Blessed art thou, Eve, for Adam's sake. Since his prayers and intercessions are great, I have been sent that thou mayest receive our help. Rise up now and prepare thee to bear." And she bore a son, and he was shining. And at once the babe rose up and ran and bore a blade of grass in his hands and gave it to his mother. And his name was called Cain. And Adam carried Eve and the boy and led them to the east. And Yahweh sent divers seeds by Michael the archangel, and gave Adam and showed him how to work and till the ground, that they might have fruit by which they and all their generations might live. For therefore Eve conceived and bare a son, whose name was Abel. And Cain and Abel used to stay together. Now listen to this. And Eve said to Adam, "My Lord, while I slept, I saw a vision, as it were the blood of our son Abel in the hand of Cain, who was gulping it down in his mouth. Therefore, I have sorrow." Now, this vision she saw, this is exactly what these offspring of Satan do. They drink blood. They believe it helps to regenerate the blood I told you about. They have no bone marrow that gives life. That's why that's what the purpose of the Red Cross is. It's a Jew blood bank so that they can consistently replenish their blood. These people are guilty of ritual murder sacrifice. If you remember when they were back in, I believe it was 70 AD, when they were fighting there, they were jumping up and down, and they had the blood in their mouth of their enemies that they killed on the field, and I forget what you call that. They were wrapping them around themselves. I mean, these people are just gonzo. That's all. I mean, but let me go on from here. So she had seen this vision. And Adam said, "Alas, if Cain slew Abel, yet let us separate them from each other mutually, and let us make for each of them separate dwellings." And they made Cain an husbandman, but Abel they made a shepherd, in order that this wise they might be mutually separated. And thereafter Cain slew Abel, but Adam was then 130 years old, but Abel was slain when he was 122 years old. And thereafter Adam knew his wife, and he begat a son and called his name Seth, the replacement. That's what the name Seth means. And Adam said to Eve, "Behold, I have begotten a son in place of Abel, whom Cain slew." And after Adam had begotten Seth, he lived 800 years and begat 30 sons and 30 daughters, in all 63 children, that they were increased over the face of the earth and their nations. And Adam said to Seth, "Hear, my son Seth, that I may relate to thee what I heard and saw after your mother and I had been driven out of paradise. When we were at prayer, there came to me Michael the archangel, a messenger of God. And I saw a chariot like wind, and its wheels were fiery. And I was caught up into the paradise of righteousness. And I saw Yahweh sitting, and his face was a flaming fire that could not be endured. And many thousands of angels were on the right and the left of that chariot. When I saw this, I was confounded, and terror seized me, and I bowed myself down before God with my face to the earth. And God said to me, 'Behold, thou diest, since thou hast transgressed the commandment of God, for thou didst hearken rather to the voice of thy wife, whom I gave into thy power, that thou mightst hold her to thy will. Yet thou didst listen to her and didst pass by my words.'" And it's my words. He really wanted you to know. "And when I heard these words of God, I fell prone to the earth and worshiped Yahweh, saying, 'Yahweh, all-powerful and merciful God, holy and righteous one, let not the name that is mindful of thy majesty be blotted out, but convert my soul, for I die, and my breath will go out of my mouth. Cast me not out from thy presence, whom thou didst form of the clay of the earth. Do not banish from thy favor him whom thou didst nourish. And lo, a word concerning thee came upon me, and Yahweh said to me, 'Since thy days were fashioned, thou hast been created with a love of knowledge. Therefore, there shall not be taken from thy seed forever the right to serve me.'" He had a love for knowledge. And this is something that Yahweh believes to be important, obviously. See, he loved the truth. He loved knowledge. He named the animals. All these kinds of things. So Yahweh said that, "Therefore, there shall not be taken from thy seed forever the right to serve me. And when I heard these words, I threw myself down on the earth and adored Yahweh and said, 'Thou art the eternal and supreme God, and all creatures give thee honor and praise. Thou art the true light, gleaming.'" See, thou art the true light, which tells you in the spectrums of light, the spectrum of light. I'm sure there are spectrums of light as well, but let's say in the spectrum of light, Yahweh is the true light, so there must be false lights as well. Because light is frequency, like sound is frequency. And the devil can come as the angel of light, which would be a false light. See? "Thou art the true light, gleaming above all lights, the living life, infinite mighty power. To thee the spiritual powers give honor and praise. Thou workest on the race of men the abundance of thy mercy." Thou workest on the race of men the abundance of thy mercy. "And I had worshipped Yahweh, straightway Michael, God's archangel, seized my hand and cast me out of paradise, of vision and of God's command. And Michael held a rod in his hand, and he touched the waters which were round about paradise, and they froze hard. And I went across And Michael the archangel went across with me, and he led me back to the place whence he had caught me up. Hearken, my son Seth, even to the rest of the secrets and sacraments that shall be, which were revealed to me. See, he's talking to his son, and he's telling him what had happened. He's talking to Seth. Why wasn't he talking to Cain? Because Cain is not his son. Cain is not in any of the genealogy of Adam anywhere in the Bible. So, hearken, my son Seth, even to the rest of the secrets and sacraments that shall be, which were revealed to me when I had eaten of the tree of the knowledge and knew and perceived what will come to pass in this age, what God intends to do to his creation of the race of men. Yahweh will appear in a flame of fire, and from the mouth of his majesty he will give commandments and statutes. From his mouth will proceed the two-edged sword. Can you dig this or what? And they will sanctify him in the house of the habitation of his majesty. And he will show them the marvelous place of his majesty. And then they will build a house to Yahweh their God in the land which he shall prepare for them. And there they will transgress his statutes, and their sanctuary will be burnt up, and their land will be deserted, and they themselves will be dispersed, because they have kindled the wrath of Yahweh. And once more he will cause them to come back from their dispersion, and again they will build the house of God. And in the last time, the house of God will be exalted greater than of old. And once more iniquity will exceed righteousness, and thereafter God will dwell with men on earth in visible form. And then righteousness will begin to shine, and the house of God will be honored in the age, and their enemies will no more be able to hurt the men who are believing in God, and God will stir up for himself a faithful people whom he shall save for eternity, and the impious shall be punished by God their King. The men who refuse to love his law. Wait a minute, the Judeo-Christian, that can't be, right? The men who refuse to love him, right? That must be a typo or something, right? No, it's not a typo. The men who refuse to love his law, heaven and earth, night and days, and all creatures shall obey him, and not overstep his commandment. Men shall not change their works, but they shall be changed from forsaking the law of Yahweh. Therefore, Yahweh shall repel from himself the wicked, and the just shall shine like the sun in the sight of God. And in that time shall men be purified by water from their sins. But those who are unwilling to be purified by water shall be condemned. And happy shall the man be who hath ruled his soul when the judgment shall come to pass, and the greatness of God be seen among men, and their deeds be inquired into by God, the just judge. See, we are to rule our soul in the same way Adam was to rule Eve. And we are to rule our soul and our woman's soul in the way Adam was to rule Eve. Yahweh was disappointed that he could not keep her on the leash. Get angry, women. Get very angry. But get angry at Yahweh, not to me. Not at me. But don't really get angry. Just repent and do what he tells you to do. Forget about getting angry. You'll get over it after a while. You women will find out that you think you'll be happy with all these careers and following what the Jew told you to do, and he'll put you up the head of men, and then you can hate men and you can get your revenge on them like the Jew does. But you'll never be happy as you would be in a godly home under a godly man and teaching your children and obeying Yahweh. You would never be as happy as you would be there. I promise you that. You just don't think that that's possibly true, but it is true. So, and in that time, men shall be purified by water and from their sins. Okay, so I went on from there. After Adam was 930 years old, since he knew that his days were coming to an end, he said, "Let all my sons assemble themselves to me, that I may bless them before I die and speak with them." And they were assembled in three parts before his sight in the house of prayer, where they used to worship Yahweh. And they asked him, saying, "What concerns thee, Father, art thou that thou should assemblest us? And what dost thou lie on thy bed?" Why dost thou lie on their bed, on your bed? Then Adam said and answered, "My sons, I am sick and in pain." And all his sons said to him, "What does it mean, Father, this illness and pain? What does it mean?" Then said Seth his son, O Yahweh, perchance thou hast long..." I didn't want to use the word Lord, but here, okay, he's talking about Adam here. So let me refresh this. Then said Seth his son, "O my Lord, perchance thou hast longed after the fruit of paradise, which thou wast want to eat, and therefore thou liest in sadness." So he was trying to say, you know, do you miss the fruits of paradise? Maybe perchance a taste of that fruit would bring you back to health. "Tell me, and I will go to the nearest gates of paradise and put dust on my head and throw myself down on the earth before the gates of paradise and lament and make treaty to God with loud lamentation. Perchance he will hearken to me and send his angel to bring me the fruit for which thou hast longed." Adam answered and said, "No, my son, I do not long for this, but I feel weakness and great pain in my body." Seth answered, "What is pain, my father? I am ignorant, but hide it not from us, but tell us about it." And Adam answered and said, "Hear me, my sons. When God made us, me and your mother, and placed us in paradise and gave us every tree bearing fruit to eat, he laid a prohibition on us concerning the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is in the midst of paradise, saying, 'Do not eat of it.' But God gave a part of the paradise to me and part to your mother, the trees of the eastern part and the north, which is over against Achilo, he gave to me. And to your mother he gave the part of the south and the western part. Moreover, God Yahweh gave us two angels to guard us. The hour came when the angels had ascended to worship in the sight of God. For with the adversary, the devil..." See, the devil waited for the angels to go worship God and get them out of the way, is what it's saying here, okay? So listen, these two angels were to guard them, but they had left to worship Yahweh. The adversary, the devil, found an opportunity while the angels were absent, and the devil led your mother astray to eat of the unlawful and forbidden tree, which she did eat and gave to me. And immediately Yahweh was wrath with us. And Yahweh said to me, "In that thou hast left behind my commandment and hath not kept my word, which I confirmed to thee, behold, I will bring upon thy body 70 blows with diverse griefs, thou shalt thou be tormented. beginning at thy head and thine eyes and thine ears, down to thy nails on thy toes and every separate limb. These God hath appointed for chastisement. All these things hath Yahweh sent to me and to all our race. Thus spake Adam to his sons, and he was seized with violent pains and cried out with a loud voice, "What shall I do? I am in distress." Well, don't give the Masonic distress signal. That won't do any good, Adam. I can tell you that right now. Little joke for you there, folks. Okay, what shall I do? I am in distress. So cruel are the pains with which I am beset. And when Eve had seen him weeping, she also began to weep herself and said, "O Yahweh, my God, hand over to me his pain, for it is I who sinned." And Eve said to Adam, "My Lord, give me part of thy pains, for this hath come to thee from fault of mine." And Adam said to Eve, "Rise up and go with my son Seth to the neighborhood of paradise, and put dust on your heads, and throw yourselves on the ground and lament in the sight of Yahweh. Perchance he will have pity upon you and send his angel across to the tree of his mercy, whence flowest the oil of life, and will give you a drop of it to anoint me with it, that I may have rest from these pains by which I am consumed and being consumed." Then Seth and his mother went off towards the gates of paradise, and while they were walking, lo, suddenly there came a beast, a serpent, and attacked and bit Seth. And as soon as Eve saw it, she wept and said, "Alas, wretched woman that I am! I am accursed, since I have not kept the commandment of God." And Eve said to the serpent in a loud voice, "Accursed beast, how is it that thou hast not feared to let thyself loose against the image of God, but hast dared to fight with it?" The beast answered in the language of men, "It is not against you, Eve, that our malice is directed. Are not ye the objects of our rage? Tell me, Eve, how was thy mouth opened to eat of the fruit? But now, if I shall begin to reprove thee, thou canst not bear it." Then Seth said to the beast, "God Yahweh revile thee. Be silent, be dumb, shut thy mouth, accursed enemy of truth, confounder and destroyer. Avaunt from the image of God, till the day when Yahweh shall order thee to be brought to the ordeal." And the beast said to Seth, "See, I leave the presence of the image of God, and thou hast said, forthwith he left Seth wounded by his teeth." But Seth and his mother walked to the regions of paradise for the oil of mercy to anoint the sick Adam. And they arrived at the gates of paradise, and they took the dust from the earth and placed it on their heads and bowed themselves with their faces to the earth and began to lament and make loud moaning, imploring Yahweh to pity Adam in his pains and to send his angel to give the oil from the tree of his mercy. But when they had been praying and imploring many hours, behold, the angel Michael appeared to them and said, "I have been sent to you from Yahweh. I am sent by God over the bodies of men. I tell thee, Seth, thou man of God, weep not nor pray and entreat on the account of the oil of the tree of mercy to anoint thy father Adam for the pains of his body. For I tell thee, in no wise wilt thou be able to receive thereof, save in the last days." Ha, ha, ha. Hey, think about that. Think about that. So they would not be able to have this, the tree of the oil of the tree of the mercy, but we will be able to in the last days. When 5,500 years have been fulfilled, then will come upon the most beloved King Christ, Son of God, to revive the body of Adam, and with him to revive the bodies of the dead. He himself, the Son of God, when he comes, will be baptized in the river Jordan. And when he hath come out of the water of Jordan, then he will anoint from the oil of mercy all that believe in him. And the oil of mercy shall be for generation to generation, for those who are ready to be born again of water and of the Holy Spirit eternal. Then the most beloved Son of God, Christ, descending. See, the most beloved Son of God. See, it's not like the Catholic Church told you that there's three different gods. He's just another Son of God, yet he is Yahweh in the flesh. So don't misconstrue that I say he's not God, but he is the Son of Man. He is an Adamite when he comes, when he came. And he is in the image of Yahweh as we are made in the image of Yahweh. But thou, Seth, go to thy father Adam, since the time of his life is fulfilled. 6 days hence his soul shall go off his body, and when it shall have gone out, thou shalt see great marvels in heaven and in the earth and in the luminaries of heaven. With these words straightway Michael departed from Seth, and Eve and Seth returned bearing with them herbs of fragrance, nard and crocus and calamus and cinnamon. And when Seth and his mother had reached Adam, they told him how the beast, the serpent, bit Seth. And Adam said to Eve, "What hast thou done? A great plague hast thou brought upon us, transgression and sin for all generations. And this which thou hast done, tell thy children after my death. For those who arise from us shall toil and fail, and they shall be wanting." Isn't that interesting? "For those who arise from us shall toil and fail, but they shall be wanting and curse us and say, 'All evils have our parents brought upon us who were at the beginning.'" When Eve heard these words, she began to weep and moan. And just as Michael the archangel had foretold, after 6 days, Adam's death. When Adam perceived that the hour of his death was at hand, he said to all his sons, "Behold, I am 930 years old, and if I die, bury me towards the sun rising in the field of yonder dwelling." And it came to pass that when he had finished all his discourse, he gave up the ghost. Then the sun darkened, and the moon, and the stars for 7 days. And Seth in his mourning embraced from above the body of his father. And Eve was looking on the ground with hands folded over her head, and all her children wept most bitterly. And behold, there appeared Michael the archangel and stood at the head of Adam and said to Seth, "Rise up from the body of thy father and come to me and see what is the doom of Yahweh concerning him. His creature is he, and God hath pitied him." And all angels blew their trumpets and cried, "Blessed art thou, Yahweh, for thou hast pity on thy creature." Then Seth saw the hand of God stretching out, holding Adam, and handed him over to Michael, saying, "Let him be in thy charge till the day of judgment in punishment, till the last years when I convert his sorrow into joy. And then shall he sit on the throne of him who hath been his supplanter." And Yahweh said again to the angels and Michael and Uriel, "Bring me the linen clothes of byssus and spread them out over Adam, and other linen clothes over Abel his son, and bury Adam and Abel his son." And all the powers of angels marched before Adam, and the sleep of the dead was consecrated. And the angels Michael and Uriel buried Adam and Abel in the parts of paradise before the eyes of Seth and his mother, and no one else. And Michael and Uriel said, "Just as ye have seen in like manner, bury the dead. So they had actually taught them how to bury the dead at this point, because they had never seen dead before. And as you know, you cannot let the dead live with the living, for then they would kill the living. So they had to be buried. 6 days after Adam died, and perceived that Eve perceived that she would die. So she assembled all her sons and daughters, Seth with 30 brothers and 30 sisters. And Eve said to all, "Hear me, all my children, and I will tell you what the archangel Michael said to us when I and your father transgressed the command of God. On account of your transgression, Yahweh will bring upon your race the anger of his judgment, first by water, the second time by fire, by these two, and will Yahweh judge the whole human race. But hearken unto me, my children, make ye then 10 tables of stone and others of clay, and write on them all my life and your fathers, all that ye have heard and seen from us. If by water Yahweh judge our race, the tables of clay will be dissolved and the tables of stone will remain. But if by fire, the tables of stone will be broken up and the tables of clay will be baked hard." That's very interesting. When Eve had said all this to her children, she spread out her hands to heaven in prayer and bent her knees to the earth while she worshiped Yahweh and gave him thanks. She gave up the ghost. Therefore, all her children buried her with loud lamentation. Then they had been mourning 4 days. Then Michael the archangel appeared and said to Seth, "Man of God, mourn not, for thy dead more than 6 days. And for the seventh day is the sign of the resurrection and the rest of the age to come. On the seventh day, Yahweh rested from all his works." Let's pay attention to that one more time, because I think something's very important being said there. This is Michael the archangel speaking to Seth. "Man of God, mourn not for the dead more than 6 days. For on the seventh day is the sign of the resurrection and the rest of the age to come. On the seventh day, Yahweh rested from all his works." So this is why I believe this makes a lot of sense, why the seventh day is so important. And I'm not talking about Saturday or anything like that. Forget about all that. I'm talking about the Sabbath day is important, because it is a sign of the resurrection and the rest of the age to come. See, there'll be a resting in peace. You know what I mean? There'll be a resting when Yahweh's rule is here. Right now, we're under all this kind of heaviness of the Jew and all this evil and all the filth that's going on right here. And we're sighing on a daily basis in disgust and everything else. And the world is upside down. But when Yahweh's laws are in place, there'll be a certain rest that comes to the land, to the animals, to the fish in the sea, and to us. It'll be a rest. You know what I mean? A rest that we will finally know that we are rid of our enemies, and that the Jew, the Edomite Jew, the filth of the Jew and their father will be gone finally. And that we will have no longer to contend and put up with such nonsense. They will be gone for good, never to be seen again. And praise Yahweh the Most High for that very thing. It looks to me like I have time to tell you something that I thought was important. And so I will defend my father Yahweh right now. Defend him from what, you say? Well, there are many out there that say that Yahweh is somebody that has commanded ritual sacrifice of human beings. because he asked Abraham to kill, to offer up his son, Isaac. Let me explain to you something about this. This is what I've heard different people give definitions of this. And though, you know, it sounds okay, I think that this is the correct definition. Pay attention to what I'm about to tell you. Yahweh required, asked Abraham, he said, I want you to sacrifice. I want you to take your son up on the mountain. I want you to sacrifice him. Now, this is the son that Yahweh told him would be blessed, and his offspring would be blessed, and he would be the father of many nations and his seed. So Abraham must have had great faith. Of course he did. And even Isaac was willing to do this thing. Now, as we saw there in the book of Jasher, and you can also see part of this in the book of Genesis, we see in the book of Jasher that they were weeping. Okay, yes, the men had some feelings. These feelings were okay, but these feelings weren't going to change the outcome of what was to take place. Oh, Yahweh was to be obeyed. These feelings weren't going to get in the way. These tears that were shed were not going to get in the way of obedience. And the devil stepped in, as I showed you last week. See, this is a continuation of last week. It's something that I just didn't have time to get to. But I will get to it on a heavier basis in the future, Yahweh willing. So Yahweh was willing to kill his son. He didn't accuse God like the Judeo-Christian does, or like Charles Giuliani does. Charles Giuliani called Yahweh the Jew pig in the sky. Yes, you heard me right. How good do you think he's going to be going? His goose is cooked. You know why he's so angry and so miserable? Because he's in disobedience to Yahweh. The most angry people in the world are the people that are in rebellion. Notice how the devil was wroth? See how his children are wroth? They're angry. They hate us. There is no bound to the hate. No boundary at all. There is no end to that hate. When you're in disobedience to Yahweh and you're in rebellion to Yahweh, you surely will be a very angry, angry, angry individual. But anyhow, you didn't see Abraham say, oh, Yahweh, what do you want human sacrifice now, huh? What kind of God are you? You want me to kill this innocent child? He didn't question him. He obeyed him. He had faith. Because he knows Yahweh. And he knows what kind of God Yahweh is. Now, let me explain to you this, because this is what it's really all about. If Abraham would do this thing, this is how I believe it to be. If Abraham would do this and have faith and kill his own son, then Yahweh would come down in the flesh and kill his own son. If Abraham had not done this, there could have been a great chance that Yahweh would not have done it, unless he could have got some future, maybe Isaac or somebody else to do it, or Israel or somebody to do it. This was a testing ground. If Abraham was willing to do this to his only son, to obey Yahweh, then his seed would be blessed and his seed would be saved. This was why Abraham is probably one of the greatest and why he is who he is. Not only did he know who the devil was, how the devil operated, but he knew who Yahweh was and how Yahweh operated. So he was willing to do this. Now let me tell you about this picture. It's not that this is not a true story. It's an absolute true story. Abraham existed. Cain existed. All these people existed. I don't want to hear that nonsense that this is just a story. But I will tell you, I'm going to show you the parts of this particular story and what they really mean. Abraham represents Yahweh, the Father. Isaac represents the seed of Adam. Adam had sinned. Adam was to die. And we know Adam did die. But I'm talking it's the seed of Adam. He came to the in the future to save his seed line. So Abraham is Yahweh in this typology. But this is a real story. I'm not saying it's not a real story. It is a real story, and it really happened. So now you see that Isaac is the seed of Adam, who is to die because he sinned. And you had the devil there constantly causing problems, trying to make sure that this couldn't happen. He could go before Yahweh. He aggravated Adam, as you saw in this story here. He aggravated Yahweh when he came in the flesh, etc., etc., etc. Now, there is no way that Yahweh was going to let Abraham sacrifice his son, because this son is the key to the whole race at this point. However, they treated it as real and they obeyed and were going to go through it. It came to the point where Isaac was so proud to do this and wanted to obey Yahweh that he stretched his neck out, as I told you. I will read you this story in the near future, if I'm able to. But now there was a ram in the thicket. The ram had been caught in the thicket by the devil. But the secret about this ram is this ram was made by Yahweh at the foundation of the world, when he made the world, for this very purpose, to replace Isaac. Who is that ram? That ram is Yahweh in the flesh, his son, the Word of God. Oh, you say, no, that can't be because he's the Lamb of God. Well, the lamb was made from the foundation of the world, but this ram was made for the foundation of the world. And this story, you have Abraham, who represents Yahweh. He's going to have to kill Adam's seed because Adam disobeyed. But Yahweh prepared a ram at the foundation of the world because he knew what was going to take place even from the beginning. This ram was on its way here to come to this, and he would stop sacrificing Isaac, who is the seed of Adam, let's say. And this ram would be the replacement. Now, I've never heard it explained that way before, and I think that's absolutely correct. And I thanked Yahweh when I was thinking of it, and I rethought it out, and I said, yes, that is the way it is. If you don't agree, that's fine by me, but I believe that that's the way it is. And like I told you, I believe with all my heart that if Abraham hadn't obeyed, that Yahweh would have had to find somebody else, or he might not have come down in the flesh. Since Abraham was willing to do this, had faith, that much faith, then Yahweh was willing to go through all that he would have to go through as Yeshua, which means Yahweh saves. The thicket. Think about the thicket. The devil. You know, as you're trying to get somewhere, you have all kinds of Jews that were aggravating him, aggravating Yeshua in the flesh while he was trying to get to his destination. And you had even disciples telling him, no, no, we won't let this happen and all this stuff. The thicket. The Pharisees trying to trap him, kill him early. Trying to get the Romans to kill him early. The thicket. Think about that. That is absolutely remarkable. Yahweh is incredible. I suggest that you take back those accusations. Because not only are you acting like the enemy by accusing Yahweh of such a horrible thing, you put yourself in danger. You make a fool out of yourself because you do not even understand the simplest things. If you accuse Yahweh, you best be willing to back those accusations up. And so I defend my father today because I love my father and I know who he is and what kind of God he is. He's not a liar. He's not a murderer. He's not a deceiver. His advice is superior. His ways are superior. His laws are superior. His knowledge is superior. His light is superior. And you couldn't find a better example anywhere, at any time, for any reason. If you think that Yahweh does not exist, you are seriously mistaken. And Judeo-Christian, who believe they know it all, you better start to look and look again. And you better get on your knees and you better repent before Yahweh and ask him to show you the truth. I mean, after all, you want to make sure you have the real truth, don't you? You don't just want to trust some man on the Trinity Broadcasting Network, do you? Or you don't want to put your trust in some local pastor who's just biding his time and has sold out to mammon through the IRS 501. Is it C3? I got it wrong before. If I get it wrong again, pardonnez-moi. It's only Jewish legislature, and it's meaningless garbage anyway. But like I told you, if your church is approved by the IRS, that means they cannot teach what Yahweh wishes. And therefore, to save the money that they would save on those taxes, they'd sell themselves to the devil. And you along with them. Can you dig what I'm telling you? Do you understand what I'm telling you? You know, when people go to these churches, they go and they pretend and it's just a social gathering and it's where I could sell some insurance or whatever it might be. And you rely on that man for all your teaching in the scriptures. And you take no responsibility yourself for what you should know in those scriptures. And you just trust this person that's standing up before you for an hour on Sunday. You've sold your soul out. You're following somebody that is, you're giving an hour a week to. 2 hours, whatever it is, you've sold out to them. You trust them implicitly. Are you sure you want to trust them implicitly? Are you sure you don't want to trust Yahweh instead and find out for yourself what the truth is? Do you want to trust that these men are giving you the truth and just play dumb until you're dead and then you end up in the bowels of hell because you trusted a fool? Is that what you want? If that's what you want, then you keep doing what the Jew wants you to do because that's what they want you to do. They want you there with them. They're going there. They're going to stay there. They're going to be abolished for good. They're done with the whole race of Jews. The devil and all his children are goodbye. They're gone. Goodbye. Praise Yahweh. Goodbye. And you're going to go with them if you don't wake up and start finding out for yourself what the truth is. It's a warning, and it's a stark warning. You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and until next time, study to show thyself approved.